early on in my tenure around what is it that Olds College needs to develop that's new. And it was very, very clear that we need to be focused on technology and how to support our students in developing the skill sets and how to utilize technology, which includes, you know, the applications through precision ag and that sort of thing.
The Growing the Future podcast is brought to you by Eberhardt Ag Solutions. Join us as we talk to top entrepreneurs in the agricultural space about their methods of obtaining success in their endeavors. And now, your host, Dan Eberhardt.
You know, first thing, is there any other, like, because you're president, is there any other, like, will you always be president? Well, you've been president, like, how do you know?
Yeah, that's my board.
Okay. If it's a board-sanctioned introduction in 20 years from now, they still call you president?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you were once president?
Yeah.
How do you get to be a president of something?
That's a good question. I don't know if there's a prototypical way of becoming a president, especially president of an academic institution. And I would say that I probably took a bit of a circuitous route to the role.
Good word,
circuitous. Often, yeah, often university or college presidents have come up through sort of the world of academia. They start as a faculty member and they become a chair and then a dean and then a VP and a president. And I didn't come out that route. I wasn't a faculty member. I didn't teach in the university. I taught in the college system. I taught in. I was a high school teacher for a period of time. Yeah, and
good
then
for you.
Yeah, and then I did some other things out in industry. I was a farmer for a few years, a full commercial farmer. But I've been I worked for an investment company. I worked for the airline for a period of time. I worked for a network of tech transfer offices in the university system, which that's what kind of got me going into the post-secondary route. And then I eventually landed in a role with Nate as their director of applied research, and I helped Nate build out their applied research programming, and we also had two company incubators. And so that was where I started to build an understanding for the college and technical institute system. It kind of got me moving in the direction that it ultimately landed me. As president. So I feel very fortunate to be here, but I wouldn't say this is necessarily the typical path to president.
No.
I just feel very fortunate that the doors were there for me to open when they were.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's all involved with the presidency?
Well, ultimately we're here for the best interests of our institution. And, you know, we are a teaching and learning institution. We also do applied research. And so my responsibility is to with the board's sort of endorsement and direction, sort of steward the resources of the college to ensure that we're producing on our mandate, which is to teach students in Alberta. And our focus is primarily in agriculture-related fields. And so we want our programs to be relevant. We want our programs to be full. And I want to see growth here at Olds College as well. So there's a lot of complexity in that in terms of how we utilize our resources. We get funding from the government, we get funding from other places, so we steward that, you know, very wisely. And we also develop out our applied research to support industry in developing, you know, what they need to. And we have, fortunately here at Olds College, we have a large campus, 2,000 acres, and so it gives us a lot of opportunity to conduct applied research, but also to provide a tremendous learning opportunity for our students. So
awesome. So in the United States, we know that the presidency term is like 4 years, and then re-election is maybe 8. I hope I got that right.
Yeah.
So for you, what's your arc here? Like, where are you at in the life cycle with the presidency and what you want to achieve? And like, are you at the beginning? Are you in the middle? Are you at the end in terms of your vision?
Yeah. I'd say I'm early in the vision. I'm only 2 years into my presidency. Most college and university presidents are around for somewhere between 7 and 12 years is kind of the range. Some last a little longer or stay a little longer.
But you're a young guy.
Right. So I do see a longevity here at Olds College. I think there's a lot we can do. I think there's a lot of opportunity when I came in, we recognized that there was a need to set a strategic plan and a strategic vision, and so we established a 7-year sort of vision for the institution, and we're just finishing the first year of that.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so we have a good 7-year, you know, strategy to build towards. I'm not suggesting after 7 years I'm done, but I think what that does is it gives the college a sense for what we want to strive for in our growth, in our sustainability, and some of the things we're trying to do with our smart farm and our ag tech programming. So a lot of great things in front of us, and so my arc is in somewhat dictated by you know that strategic plan and the strategic plan that will come after that. And I think as long as I'm producing good results for this institution and I feel like I'm contributing, you know, I'll be very, very happy to be in the role. I feel very fortunate to be a part of the team.
So you're into the tactical of the 7-year strategic plan. What's the 7-year plan?
So basically, it's built around a series of drivers. First and foremost, we want to be an excellent teaching and learning institution. We want to develop new programming, and we want to ensure our programming is relevant. So we've done a lot of work with our as a team, really, to ensure that we're engaging our industries and making sure that each program is being guided by industry advisory committees, so that our curriculum is always relevant. And that we're also thinking a lot about how we can support our faculty and support our institution in ensuring that our teaching and learning programs are really strong. So that is built primarily, you know, that's the foundation. We do see an opportunity for growth, so that is also a key driver for us. We do feel that we can grow by 50% in our enrollments over the next 7 years. There's certainly a demand for it within the agriculture sector, and so we will be launching a new school soon. Agriculture technology, which is really exciting.
Huge.
And we see growth in other parts of our institution as well. As I talked about, we see growth in our applied research as well. We expect to double that in the next 7 years too. So that is really, you know, looking at how we can support companies in their product development and their validation and their demonstration. And of course, we have a tremendous platform here with our farm to enable that kind of work. And we're in a great area. We're close to Calgary. We're close to, you know, we're really in the center of the province where a lot of that agriculture technology innovation is happening. So we want to be a platform, a venue for a lot of that work. So that's a key driver. That smart ag tech driver is going to be important for our future. We need to be really mindful about what the sector needs when it comes to you know, the technology and the data that's being, you know, sort of incorporated into this industry. We know that's a context that requires different kinds of skill sets. And so industry is helping us understand what those skill sets need to be, and we're looking at how we can build programming around that and evolve our existing program to serve that. So that's a lot of what our strategic plan is focused on, and I think it's a really exciting time to be at Olds
huge.
College.
I think you guys are looking at filling a huge gap in the market.
Thank you.
You know, we're literally here sniffing around for, you know, good people in the industry to fit, like, solve those problems. Mm-hmm. You know, my brother, for his agronomy company, but not only his agronomy company, but there's a bigger vision. I know he interviewed Brianna yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brianna?
Yeah.
As a tech agronomist.
She's a tech agronomist, yes. College.
That's a new word.
It is, yeah.
And talking to Corey Wellness, whose company Crop Pro is being represented here, and yeah. Wes Anderson and Jeff Brown spoke yesterday.
Yeah.
We had a conversation a couple months ago, and it hit me over the forehead. And I know, like, ACC had something in Brandon, I think, related to precision agriculture, but there's no, his argument was, there's no one in the industry that's training the next generation, doing the research, you know, and training the next generation of agronomists and tech agronomists and precision ag people in Western Canada at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the space you guys are looking to fill. Is that fair?
I think it's a fair comment, and I certainly wouldn't debate that, you know, that perspective. I think that there are some good, you know, programming options across Western Canada that touch on that. But what we're trying to do at Olds College is get a focus program around agriculture technology, and I think it'll address it directly. I do believe that some of that precision ag and digital ag and technology focus is embedded in existing programs, but to be fair, and this maybe speaks to the perspective, it's not as explicit perhaps as it needs to be. And so I think developing a new program around ag tech where that is the predominant focus of the credential, I think is absolutely valid. We did the research early on in my tenure around what is it that Olds College needs to develop that's new, and it was very, very clear that we need to be focused on technology and how to support our students in developing the skill sets and how to utilize technology, which includes, you know, the application through precision ag and that sort of thing. So you know, it absolutely is a space that isn't well served by the post-secondary system in Canada. Our research, you know, and analysis led us to that conclusion as well, which is why we're developing the programming. I think other colleges in the system are also looking to develop programming, because I don't think that Olds College can serve that market.
No. No, it's a huge market.
It's a huge market.
Huge gap.
Right. So I think it's going to require colleges across the system to really, you know, take a look at that gap and figure out how they're going to fill it in their own way. At Olds College, we're doing it through a new suite of programs in ag tech. And guys like Corey Wilness, I mean, they've been great at providing us with feedback on what that needs to look like. What those people are going to be called, like whether techronomists will stick, that doesn't really matter. It's a name, but... there's other potential sort of names that these new professionals will be called, but the point is there will be a new set of, you know, professionals out there, and probably a bunch of them that are going to be needed in order to support agriculture and where it's going.
And I was just kind of chuckling to myself because I met somebody in the elevator last night who had some sort of drone that had like sub-millimeter accuracy or something for photographic, you know, this and that. And I was like, oh, well, I got a DJI Mavic. I was just thinking how fast everything's moving. And so we have education that was originally intended to help people that were rough and tumble, like rural folk, be better factory workers. Cause it's not easy for people to work in the day of industrialization, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day in a factory without proper indoctrination. That's where education come from now. Where are we at with education? How do you fit when you run into somebody who's got a drone that can do things that I've never even heard of? And I consider myself, I talk to lots of precision ag people, use it in different ways. Like, how does education fit into, like, how do you keep up with stuff? Like, every year there'll be stuff you never even heard of.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the role of education, institutions like ours, is to teach people how to think.
Right.
I'm totally... in agreement that often what our students are trained on or what our students are trained to do, it often becomes obsolete, sometimes even before they've left the program. And so the question isn't really whether they can do that task. The question is whether they can critically think and do the next task.
Right.
The question is whether they can be creative, whether they can communicate, right? So it's a lot of these soft skills that I think are important for these professionals to be successful. And so, you know, and I think in some ways, Olds College and, you know, has been ahead of the game because we have had a farm where students have been put in the real world environment and have had to think creatively and deal with complex challenges. That goes right back to, you know, over 100 years ago when we started. We started as a demonstration farm and an education institution. So that hands-on learning environment, I think, instills that those skill sets of creativity and problem solving, so that even if you were trained on something that's obsolete, when you hit the real world, so to speak, outside of this institution, you've been exposed to problems and challenges, and you can think creatively in a way that allows you to figure stuff out faster.
Love it.
If you're in the classroom getting taught, you know, by the sage on the stage, as they say,
you know, I never heard that. That's cool.
Yeah,
sage on the stage.
Yeah, like. It's in those environments where you're absolutely right. Students will come out, graduates will come out of those programs, and they'll know how to do things, but they're pretty specific, and they're not necessarily hitting the mark when they get to industry. And I hear that all the time, is industry reps often tell us, you know, don't worry about teaching them exactly how to do the tasks. Teach them how to be creative. Teach them how to critically think. Teach them how to communicate, how to work with others. If we can produce students that have the basic skills but also have those higher level soft skills, I think then we're starting to hit the mark.
I love when you talk about soft skills, and I really my experience at U of S, where at the time I was a young man and I just had a son, and I was very serious about my marks and diligent about. I had a couple tag-alongs that were always like looking over my shoulder at the time.
Sure.
Hey, what did we actually? What did you get out of that class?
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny that I was for the while I was that guy. I just was those. But one of the things looking back is like, why didn't I network? Why didn't I try and be class president? Why didn't I? We just hired a guy actually who's class president of US there. But because now, 20 years later, when we go to build a business like Eberhard Egg, I realize like all those people at a certain level in their career, like we can do business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really focused on the academia and the marks and passing and doing the due diligence and staying home at night at that stage of my life. So I went a little bit later. What are you guys doing to facilitate that those relationships for the kid, for the, should I say kids, is that fair? For the kids, the students, you say kids, is that,
it's,
you know what?
They're
kids
to me, because I'm getting old. Yeah.
But for the kids, you know, what sometimes I tell them, like, you know, like you say, like, you probably won't retain much of what you actually, like, learned, but if you learn how to learn, you learn the soft skills, but if you make, like, learn how to network and learn how to connect.
Yeah.
As technology grows, I feel like the connection gains more value. The connection side of, like, the relationship kind of, almost more value.
Absolutely.
Than we used to have. We didn't.
Yeah.
My dad, I don't remember my dad being worried about relationships with technagronomists and agronomists and suppliers and, you know, connecting and learning. He just, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, my career is where it is because of the networking that I've been able to do. Like, that I've been put in roles where it's kind of forced me to build networks. Those networks have allowed my career to develop. But what they've also done is it's given me access to a wealth of knowledge and wisdom, right, that I still use today. So I think I benefit as a person. I think Olds College benefits because of the networks that I have. And I got that advice. Like when I was at U of A doing my MBA, I asked somebody, we were getting a tour through a technology center, and I said, so what's sort of the most important part of, or what's the most important piece of advice that you'd give to somebody like me? And he says, make sure you establish your networks. And as someone who, like, I'm naturally more of an introvert, I enjoy being alone, but I also enjoy being with people, but it's not as natural as some people.
Totally,
like, some people really like to get out and just network. I have to kind of push myself to do it. And that was a you know, sort of something that I took to heart. And that network has been so valuable for me, and I think it's valuable for Olds College. So when I think of our students and the networking, the networks that we're exposing them to, I think that's really important as part of their learning. So I'm pushing and I'm encouraging, you know, our institution to think about how can we give our students more experiences outside of Olds College. I mean, we have this fantastic campus, and we put on events like this, Egg Smart, and it does create opportunities, but we need to get outside of these walls, so to speak, outside of our borders, and go to events and great events like Egg in Motion and Farm Tech and events like that. Get our students exposed into those kinds of environments, because they'll be able to build their networks and hear from experts.
We hope that you are enjoying this episode of the Growing the Future podcast. Please take the time to visit our sponsor, Eberhard Egg Solutions, at eberhardeggsolutions.ca, where you can find innovative solutions that transform your farm. And now, back to the show.
And that's part, I would argue that it's part of the learning process. It's not an extracurricular thing.
Right,
it
right.
really should be embedded in our academic programming. Then these students will have the kinds of linkages that they're going to need to be successful. Because we know that, you know, like, just bring it back to technology and into our businesses, like, it's hard to be a business person in any industry in agriculture if you're on the farm isolated with all this risk that's around you, with all this technology that's got so much potential, with all this data that's being generated. If you're not extending out into your networks and figuring out how to manage that and understand it and generate value from it, you know, you're not going to optimize compromise your business, and you're not going to be as good as you can be. So we have to teach that. We have to instill that, and we have to create opportunities for our students to really generate an understanding for that.
I think that's an important skill for producers to have, and I know when we go about anything, it's always the who, not the how. You know, and I don't know that farmers typically have that. When I deal with farmers, I think the mentality is typically like, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? And in our business scaling in the last 4 years, and I know Terry's cultivated this mentality a lot as your strategic coach, it's always the who. It's always the who can help, like in our network, who can do this.
And I think it's maybe that sort of mentality of trying to stay, you know, stay within yourself and figure it out. I think it's born out because you are strong, right?
Like I grew up like Clint Eastwood on the farm. Like
that's right, stoic. Strong, but also incredibly creative. Like
problem solvers.
Exactly, problem solvers by nature, right? So we want to solve the problems. We have the skill sets and the creativity to solve the problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing I really appreciate about the agriculture sector. They're brilliant people, creative people. I mean, it's amazing. I have a brother and a father that I just held wrenches as they went and fixed stuff and built stuff.
Right? Yeah, so my life story.
Yeah, so I mean, anyone who would kind of say that farmers are factory workers, you know, back to your point, I really challenge that. They are not. Yeah. They're complex. They solve complex problems and they know how to solve problems, and that's great. I mean, the Prairie Farm Report is a great example of that. Right? Remember watching that?
Are you kidding me?
It's amazing.
That was sacred.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and I just loved that show because it just showed the tremendous skill and creativity and brilliance
that producers have. I remember my dad, like, it's one of the only times he sort of like slow down and relax or whatever, or, you know, after lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
What time was that on Prairie Farm Report? I feel like that was on like Sundays. It was like, there'd be church and then there'd be like the Western Hour. And then Prairie Farm Report or something.
And you'd see these amazing inventions, right?
Yeah.
That guys would create because they were solving problems.
Amazing stuff.
So it was a cool technology. That's probably what drew me to it. But what I understand now is it's not the technology so much that was important there. It was the problem that was being solved, right? And that's, of course, what we're trying to do here at Olds College is focus on the problems to be solved. But to the point, you know, I think we're bent, producers are often bent to try to figure it out themselves, and it's been a culture shift to understand that the industry is so much more complex, and there's, you know, the technology and the equipment that's coming at us is so much more complex.
Yeah.
If you don't extend into your networks, if you can't figure out how to effectively connect with others, you know, and draw that sort of intelligence into your operation, you know, you're not gonna be successful. And so it's sort of a combination of both. How do we you know, produce, as, you know, graduates that are ready to take on those complex problems, but also how do we produce graduates that understand when and how to network with their community?
That's an interesting conversation. I love that you know are framing it that way. And I think, you know, juxtapose my father against my brother. Like, my dad is a jack of all trades. You know, he could build anything, you know, fix anything, do it himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, not much of a CEO or HR-related mentality.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my brother is on that second floor of the office that my dad built.
Yeah.
And they saw the potential bill for the labor. He's like, oh, we can do this ourselves.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my brother's often up on the second floor there overlooking the yard where Grandpa and Grandma started, but it's a true who, not how.
Yeah.
But it's a different set of problems, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
But I find, like, the part I like is opportunity for those of us that aren't jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, like, my unique ability would be connecting people that can do things in really unique, original ways. And,
yeah.
Because I got no talent other than YouTubing, obviously. So tell me a little bit about, well, we're at the show here. And thanks for the media pass, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
It's a new thing for us anyways. And it's going to be a lot of content coming out. We had some conversations yesterday and today.
Yeah. That's good.
Tell me a little bit about, like, you talked about events, going to events, but what about, brilliant, have an event and have people here. So this is the second one that you guys had?
This is the inaugural event.
Okay.
We've done
an event 2 years ago.
Yeah, we had an event 2 years ago that was a little broader. Mm-hmm. and we recognized that we learned a lot from that event.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And good on you.
Yeah. So we took those learnings and we worked with our partner in AgriTrade, and we sorted out, you know, what is it that sort of fills a gap. You know, we wanted to do something, but we also just didn't want to put on a show just to put on a show, because it's a lot of work.
So what did you learn, and where are you now?
Well, what we learned is we needed to focus. We needed to get a show that was focused on hands-on learning and education, and one that would actually deliver value to producers. So this show is, and we also learned that, you know, we can't expect it to be a massive show out of the gate, nor does it need to be a massive show to be successful, right?
No.
So we decided, let's get a focused show, let's focus on demonstrations, let's do and provide an educational stream, bring in experts, let's make it entertaining and fun, and let's not worry about whether we start small, and let's, you know, but let's get it right, and then we can build from there.
Awesome.
Right? So, and we're hoping, you know, and it looks like, you know, it's turning out that way, that we are attracting, you know, producers that are also ready to make decisions, right? Buying decisions in particular, because we want our exhibitors to feel like they're getting some value. And so, so it's been good. We sold out our education stream the day before. So
amazing.
So we did a good job there, and the marketing was excellent. And the show itself, I think, is hitting a good tone. I think what we're finding, what our learnings come out of this show, is we certainly can, you know, probably improve upon it. But we're finding that there is a niche for a technology focused outdoor demonstration show with an education stream, we intend to continue with it and build from here. And I'm sure we'll get lots of feedback from those who are attending and producers and the exhibitors. But but at this point, it's looking like we have something here to build upon.
One of the interesting coaching that we received, or I received when we started this show, was the more that you can visualize your ideal audience member and narrow that down and speak to them, the more successful you'll be.
Yeah,
sometimes
good.
I struggle with that, because, like, oh, I want... You know, I want it to be a show for everybody, but really it's a show for us in Western Canadian agriculture that can relate.
Yeah.
And where I find wherever we go, we have very common conversations very quickly, because we basically, really 80% of the time, we believe the same things, share the same core values.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good way of, I don't know if I quite thought of it that way, but it makes, I should have, that makes a lot of sense. Let's just get really clear on what that person is that we're looking to serve with this show.
So today, who is it?
Well, today, I mean, it is the producer. It's the as Rob Syke would call it. It's sort of the farm of consequence. It's the ones that are really, you know, at that commercial level, and are interested in exploring, you know, technology relevant to the challenges that they face relative to the value that they want to create on their farm. That's what our education sessions are all about. Really focusing on farmers of consequence and the challenges they face and the opportunities that they have to build value. The technology that's being, you know, exhibited and demonstrated, it's sort of the same focus. I think that's what we want to focus on. I think it's really, you know, linked well with what we want to do here at Olds College as well. I mean, we're very much known as an agriculture technical institution, but we don't want to be enamored by the technology. We don't want to just bring technology into our campus just for the sake of it. We want to focus on the problems and the opportunities and bring the technology in to see how it you know, responds to those challenges. And so I think this show, you know, dovetails nicely with our broader vision at Olds College. And I think it also reflects the interest of AgriTrade. AgriTrade was very interested in doing something in the summer that complemented their show in the winter.
Yep.
So I think we have a show that represents the interests of both partners and serves the industry and also provides opportunities for our students and faculty as well.
So think of your target audience. If you were to give an elevator pitch for them to come to AgSmart, what would you say?
I'd come to AgSmart if you want to see what technology is out there that is relevant to their needs. And if they also want to see the kind of technology that is coming at them in the years to come, that's a good... And I would also say, it's a long elevator, Right.
No, you.
I'd also say come to network.
Yes.
Because you'll meet some fantastic producers and some really interesting experts to learn from.
Well, I ran into John Kowalczyk, and unfortunately, he was taken into seminars. Well, fortunately for him, unfortunately for me, because I wanted to get a producer's perspective, and we're going to have him on the show, I think, because he's a good advocate in agriculture, and I love talking just to producers, like, hey, what are you doing about this? What are you doing about that? How do you see this?
Yeah,
it's so grounding for me, because sometimes we talk with a lot of industry folk, and then when I talk to producers, like, oh yeah, okay, that's
absolutely.
You never want to lose touch with that.
Yeah,
but. I think you guys do speak to a great producer. Like, you know that the producers are here, are the kind of people that are willing to invest in time and money and capital in so many different ways to learn and get better.
Yeah.
So as a business owner then, just switching my hats here.
Yeah.
So, we have a agricultural distribution company, Eberhard Egg Solutions. My brother has an agronomy company, Sure Growth. Solutions now, I think they just rebranded.
Solving a lot of problems yourself.
agronomy company, Sure Growth Solutions. A large broad acre grain farm.
Yeah.
That's looking for solutions. So as business owners, what would you say to them coming to the show? Exhibitors, looking for people to work for you, all these things.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, the key word there is solutions, right? This is a show about talking about solutions. And I think that's always a journey, right?
Absolutely.
Businesses will come and they'll have their ideas and they'll have their products and services that they're looking to sell, and producers are seeking those and wanting to generate better understanding for those. So for businesses and exhibitors that are looking to come to a show, they're gonna get exposed to producers, and they're gonna be able to explain to them why their solutions or their products and services are important for them. And they'll learn as well because producers are blunt and they're candid and they're wise.
Love it.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and it's the same.
Yeah, they are wise.
It's the same.
I learned it the hard way.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
So, so this is a great opportunity to have those conversations to refine, your products and services. Just like the producers are coming here to refine their operations. Mm-hmm. And it's great for us too, because we're here to refine our education programs and just continue to learn. So we really value from those conversations as well.
So we're in inning six, I guess, of the game here today, so to speak, right now?
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the game so far? What would you change? What are you going to coach the people on when you get to the bench?
Well,
is the roster going to be next year?
Yeah, I feel...
How are you feeling,
I feel
coach?
Really good, yeah. How to differentiate that metaphor into reality.
You just keep running with it. Right. Baseball.
Yeah.
I'm not a baseball guy.
I'm not either. If you use the hockey analogy, it's going to be much easier.
Okay, but, second inning? No. Second quarter? No.
Second period?
That's too much.
Okay.
Can't switch analogies mid-show, man.
Exactly.
Don't ask me to do that.
That's right, great. Yeah, no, well, first of all, I think I'm really thankful. I mean, I think the show is hitting a mark, and I'm thankful, to our team here at Olds College. I'm thankful to our partners at AgriTrade, our show manager, Stacey Felkar and Suzanne Bielert. They've done a fantastic job of producing this show along with their team, so I'm just thankful. I think we definitely produced a successful show. But there's a lot to learn. Yeah, I mean, there's some logistics things that I think we need to figure out. One of the things that we have, which is great, is we have a lot of space. That creates some interesting challenges in terms of logistics that we might not need to sort out. And those are pretty straightforward. I think that people will get to know the show. Like, I think there were certainly groups out there, companies that are kind of took a watch and wait and see approach to whether this show would be relevant and hit the mark, and so hopefully we've demonstrated that. So I anticipate next year's show will have more response from those folks, so it'll grow, right? It'll grow, which is good. But I'm thankful for those companies and sponsors that took a bet on it, just like we did, right?
Right.
Because it's the inaugural show, and it could go, it could go either way. So I appreciate our sponsors and those companies like yourself that decided to take a bet on it, like, with us, because we wouldn't be successful if we weren't doing this all together.
Well, hey, I really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much
Absolutely.
For being a great guest.
It was a pleasure.
The job that you've done.
Thank you.
But putting it all together. I can't wait to see what's next for Eggsmart.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you for coming. And,
awesome.
And we appreciate the conversation
yeah.
and the conversations we're having.
It's fun, eh?
So, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, good night.
Good time.
Yeah.
Thanks, dude.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Growing the Future podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for highlights of the show. Also, full-length videos of the show are available on our website, www.growingthefuturepodcast.ca, and on YouTube. We would very much appreciate if you took the time to visit our sponsor, Eberhardt Ag Solutions, at eberhardtagsolutions.ca, where you can find innovative solutions that transform your farm.